Hi there. This is Terry Telford from TheBusinessProfessional.com. We'll begin this audio with the legal disclaimer. The material that you're going to hear is copyrighted. All rights are reserved by Bridgeport Communications and TheBusinessProfessional.com. All the material is for informational purposes only. We cannot guarantee your results because results are based on individual efforts. Today we're going to be hearing from one of the premier super affiliates online, Mr. Brian Garvin, and I think we just jump right in and pound him with the questions. How are you doing, Brian?
Oh, pretty good. How are you?
Oh, just great. Want to thank you very much for taking the time to do this interview.
Okay, thanks, Terry.
We just go right in. What's your background, Brian? What did you do before you came online?
Well, before I got online, I was actually disabled. I was a disabled American veteran. Actually, I'm still a disabled American on 40% disability from the Marine Corps. I hurt my back on a parachute jump. I was in a paratrooper unit called First Anglico. That was back, you know, I got discharged in 1992. So I, until the internet marketing, I really wasn't making any money other than $400 a month on disability.
Wow.
And I wasn't even making that for about 6 years after I got out. So I, was, you know, I wasn't really making very much money at all or any money at all for a while there. So I kind of depended on my parents for a while. I did have a small check from an old court settlement that was coming in for a few hundred a month, but wasn't really enough to do. It was enough for the bare living expenses, and believe me, nothing else. So I still had to borrow some money from my dad here and there, and my mom. But it wasn't a good time. I wasn't very. It wasn't a very easy time.
So the internet really is a godsend for you.
Yeah, it did. It really put me on my own 2 feet and gave me a good name, and you know, allowed me to work hard and achieve what I needed to achieve to make some serious money. In the first 2 years, the most I ever made was maybe a little under $1,000 a month my first 2 years on the internet. Well, actually, at the end of the second year, I started to make about $2,000 to $3,000 a month. But my second year, I think I ended up with about $10,000-something in income, and the year before that, $9,400. But my third year, I made $226,000.
So there's a bit of a difference.
Yeah, because I was kind of figuring things out, you know, when I was going along marketing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it took a while, but I finally got there.
So how did you actually get online or discover how to kind of get online and do business online?
Basically, I got on I'm doing business online right now because I needed money, basically, obviously. I couldn't work a regular job because of back problems at the time, which, ironically enough, since I started making money on the internet, I actually, you know, had money to go in and see a chiropractor and got myself straightened out and started going to the gym and got in a little better shape than I was in before, and the back problems kind of went away. So that took care of that problem, that alone was a real major problem. But before that, before the back problem, I guess I was just basically struggling, not having any money.
Yeah, that's a kind of a psychological problem as well as a.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And you know, it's kind of funny because the government doesn't really help you out very much on that. And you know, people are pretty much on their own to control their own destiny.
Yeah.
I mean, if you depend on the government, you're not going to do very well. Believe me.
No.
And
no.
You're definitely not going to go anywhere beyond a small fixed income.
Yeah.
You know, if you're lucky, you'll even get that.
Yeah. So what kind of, when you came online then, you know, you basically, like you said, your first year you made, you know, kind of less than $10,000.
Yeah, but even that was good because I was finally pulling in almost $1,000 a month, and I was finally having enough money to go out to eat once a week or something, you know? I mean, I didn't have enough money to do anything. I was buying, you know, macaroni and cheese and stuff like that. And I know that's kind of a depressing story for somebody to hear it. I don't really, you know, I don't want to like, you know. I mean, I don't live like that anymore, but I mean, I'm just saying there was a time I was doing that. Now I can go out and buy a $50 steak dinner anytime I want to, you know?
But I think it's actually inspiring because I think there's a lot of people out there right now that are in the position that you were. How many years ago was that?
This was about 5 years ago. Well, right now it's 2004. I started marketing in 1999 full time.
Yeah.
And that was my first, you know, that's when I started making $1,000 a month. In 2000, I made about another $1,000 a month. 2001, 2002, and 2003 were all over $200,000 years. There's always a different wave I rode every year. I've always had to find some new, you know, hustle, I guess you could say, to keep making that kind of money because the checks seem to last for about a year, then they go down. But some checks I have one check, like for Host for Profit, for example.
Yeah.
You know, it's pulled me about $20,000-$30,000 over the last 3 years, and it's checks like that that come in that kind of save you every month because it's a little bit extra.
Right.
You know, and that's why I'm so up on multiple income streams because I'm still receiving about $800 a month on Host for Profit.
Super. So what's your average income then with all the income streams that you have on a monthly basis? What's kind of the average?
Average income I'm making on a monthly basis, I would say anywhere from right now. I mean, it's going up and down. I've had my best month ever was $46,000.
Wow.
And that was, you know, that was when all my checks kind of came in at the right time and
yep.
everything kind of clicked. And this month it's going to be somewhere around 13, 14. And that's conservative. I mean, we just launched a site actually today called firstalertleads.com where people can get, you know, as many leads as they want.
Yeah.
And that site, we expect to pull in another 25, 30 grand a month, which would put another 8 to 10,000 in my pocket than what I'm making now. Right now, last month, my robotreply.com check, you know, for the autoresponder service I ran.
Yeah.
Or I'm running, sorry. It's right now about 9,000 I made last month. So it's pretty good considering we grew the business to 50,000. Actually, it's like 49,800 in, what do you call it, gross receipts every
yep.
month. And I actually have screenshots to prove that if you go to the Robot Reply site, just so you'll know. Yeah.
Fantastic.
When you've
launched another leads program, is that going to be competing with Penny Per Lead?
Well, actually, Penny Per Lead sells leads that are a little older, 30 to 60 days old, the recycled leads, so we sell them at a big discount.
Right.
But there's still opt-in leads. FirstAlertLeads.com are all under 30 days old, so they're actually a much higher quality of lead.
Okay.
And you know, we do sell 24-hour leads to 72-hour leads, and we sell 7 to 30-day leads there. And they're more expensive, but they're much higher quality leads. And the good thing about our program is, you know, if a customer has a problem with the leads or they're undeliverable, we replace the balance of those leads. So they're guaranteed to get a certain amount of leads no matter what.
Super. So what kind of – now, when you go out and look – for an affiliate program,
mm-hmm.
what do you look for? What kind of qualities will make you say, okay, that affiliate program is the one I'm going to do for now?
We look for leads that are, you know, we want to make sure our leads are verified, they're pinged, and we want to make sure they're under 30 days old when we buy them.
Right. Yeah.
And when we sell them, we want to make sure, obviously, you know, they're only resold one time. Because we don't want, and we actually get our leads from the three major suppliers that are out there. That are the three biggest suppliers out there that supply leads to network marketing companies and business opportunities.
Excellent. As far as when you get out to, aside from the leads though, when you go out and look for an affiliate program, what do you look for in an affiliate program to say, okay, there's an affiliate program like? For example, your A-plus Marketplace newsletter that comes out, you always have something new, and you seem to be the first to have the newest affiliate program, you know, that you've joined. What do you look for to actually say, okay, there's the affiliate program that I'm going to promote?
Basically, what I like to do when I pick a affiliate program to promote, and this is based on a lot of trial and error,
yep.
I like to do two things. I like to see what's in, you know, what's hot and what people are really making a lot of money with. That's how usually one of the rules I go by.
Mm-hmm.
But the other rule I go by, there's actually three rules, is to make sure it's a good, decent product that people can use. They're not just joining it just to make cash. Because
yep.
I have in my early internet marketing career days just got involved in programs just because it was a fad. And I have made great money with them, but I kind of, if I had it to do over again, I can't say the money wasn't good, but if I had it to do over again, I would have just picked products that people can really use. Because I don't know if you've noticed it, if you've been on my newsletter, Terry, you've been on it for a while, right?
Yep.
I haven't pushed much of anything in the last 8 months.
No.
Except for either my own products or something that really is a true product people could get real value out of. And I have done a couple special, you know, lead swaps and, you know, e-sign swaps. And that's part of the building your business, too, is to take the benefit of other people's contact lists and use them and, you know, let them use yours. And I've done some of that to help Robot Reply grow. But, I mean, they're not programs I'm personally involved in.
Right, okay. So you've actually kind of, there's two types of affiliates. You've got a type one who basically comes out and purchases the product, uses it, and then really recommends the product based on
because they like it,
the
and then they exactly. then they do things like website ramp up techniques, like, you know, pay per click bidding, they mm-hmm. e-sign swaps and whatever they have to do to build a business to a, you know, income they're comfortable with, or place e-sign ads, or they do swaps with other people so they can get e-sign ads out,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And that's one way to do it. The other way to do it is just to sign up for anything you want, because pretty much traffic sells and not, you know, the program, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If you can get enough traffic to something and it's I mean, of course, the other rules have to be in place. You better have good ad copy. You better have a somewhat of a decent product.
Yeah.
And you know, having a name behind it helps. There's a little checklist of all the things that have to be in place. And the more checks that are in there, the more money the product can make.
Right.
You know, like, in fact, it's kind of funny. I never even announced this. And you're actually the very first person I talked to about this, Terry. We're actually launching another product, a script, in about a week or two called lightningbackup.com. What it does is it backs up any opt-in database with a click of a button without having to do settings or anything. It's the most user-friendly, easy thing to use. And everyone's going to want a copy of that that has, you know, basically an opt-in script set up on their website because they're going to need, you know, because hosting services, as you probably know, are not all well backing up now.
No.
In fact, my host wrote me an email that said, "I'm sorry, but we can't back up, do any more backups." Imagine getting a letter like that, you know?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, well, thanks. So if I lost basically my, if my server, I have Lightning Backup installed on my computer now because it's in beta, we haven't launched it yet.
Yeah.
If I was to lose that, it would cost me probably, I don't know, $700,000 to $800,000 in the next 5 years of lost revenue if I was to lose A-Plus Marketplace. And if I had no way to replace it, if I wasn't backed up on my computer. And that's scary.
Yeah.
When I thought about that, that's why I had it developed, because I figured, Jesus. And there's some free stuff out there that does that, but it doesn't have anywhere near the features ours is going to have.
Well, you seem to really have your finger on the pulse of what's needed. I mean, you came out with opt-in Lightning whenever, you know, there was really no concrete good mail program. You've got what's Lightning Tracker for ad tracking. And now you've got back. You really seem to have your finger on the pulse of what's really needed as far as not just being an affiliate, but actually what's being or what's needed from a webmaster's point of view as well.
Yeah, and lightningpopup.com also. It's not as, you know, it's a real, you know, $14 program, which isn't too much, but it does stuff like allow you to create, you know, redirect scripts and things like that on the fly. And that it's a helpful tool. It actually helps you create an opt-in Lightning style pop-up that'll link to any responder as well. So, you know, as I see things people need, I talk to programmers and see if they can do them, basically. And that's how I've been running my business the last 3 years. That's, you know, the software is a total, out of the, I probably made a little over $1 million in revenue in the last 5 years, if I was to add it all up. And I'd say at least 10% of that was just from my software. So it's not making me all my revenue, but it's making me it made me a bit.
It's a decent chunk.
Yeah, it's a nice little chunk.
So is it?
I mean, you know, if I was living in a place like South Dakota or certain parts of Texas or anywhere but where I live right now, I'd be rich. But my overhead's high because ever since I started making money, to be honest, it's kind of a mistake I made. I bought a nice house close to the ocean, and it's a big, you know, it's a pretty fat mortgage.
Yeah.
But I'm paying it, you know.
But I think the thing is, when you kind of get to the level where you are, you want to start enjoying your life and have the lifestyle that you wanted and have the big house and buy the
ocean. Exactly.
And there's really no point in making the money if you can't enjoy it. As far as from a price standpoint, is it better or would you prefer to have a high-priced item where you're not probably going to sell quite as many items but you make a larger commission, or would you rather have a lower-priced item and make more sales but less commission on each item?
To be honest, the products I want to get into in the future, when I start marketing, especially since I'm already making really good money online, I don't want to try to build a 1,000, you know, $20 sales to make 20 grand. I want to develop, you know, 5 or 6 sales at 3 grand a piece to make 20 grand.
Okay.
You know, I would rather go with high-ticket items. I really want to start, because you could spend a lot of money putting them in magazines. You could do high, you know, e-sign, and, you know, you could go on one of the top 500 Alexa sites and broker deals to send them out to, and some of those guys have big contact lists. I could send it, you know, like Bravenet.com, for example. It's 7 grand, but they give you about 8 or 9 thousand unique clicks, you know? So, I mean, the cost per lead is actually pretty good when you do the breakdown. And if you have a $1,000 product, and you're getting a sale out of every 200 or 300 clicks, you know, then you can make, you know, 15-20 grand off that ad, just like that.
So what if,
or if you're selling leads or something, you know, leads sell really, really good.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I made 180-something thousand dollars off penny per lead last year.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and all documented too. I mean, I could just pull up the report in 10 minutes and make some screenshots if you want me to.
Wow, that's super. Part of that is mine.
Oh yeah, that's right. You were purchasing some leads from there.
I've been a penny per lead customer since last year, actually.
I remember that. I remember some orders coming through.
That was, and there will be more.
Oh, that's great. I mean, and you know what? And eventually I'm probably going to relaunch that site. Right now I'm sort of focusing on first floor leads and robotreply.com, but once I want to put up some money someday in the next 6 months and relaunch that thing, because it's a great concept and it made a lot of money.
Yeah, I think it
and
is
it
too.
Still makes money, a couple grand a month, but not like it used to. Only because I haven't promoted it, you know.
Right, yeah. So what's what's kind of left on Penny Per Leads to upgrade then or relaunch?
Oh, just the whole design interface change, stuff like that. I mean, just so I'd like to plug in some viral interface features on the website.
Right. Yeah.
By viral interface features, I mean add the site to your homepage. Those kind of, you know, make an interface that's more, you know, a little more. I guess you could say more of a money funnel.
Yeah.
Not that Penny Per Lead wasn't. Believe me, it was pretty close to a money funnel as you can get almost. The conversions were unbelievable. I think we were probably getting a sale every 10, 15 visitors at the most.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I'm probably being conservative.
Oh, it's without a doubt, it's the easiest place to purchase leads, opt-in leads online.
Oh, is it really? Yeah, I kind of wanted it to be that way. See, that's the thing. When I set up a website, I like to make it easy, clear, you know, answer all their questions. I like to put myself in the customer's shoes when I write ad copy, Terry.
Yep.
And Penny Per Lead wasn't really ad copy per se.
No.
But it was just so simple. You kind of go there, you read it, and you buy or you leave.
Yeah, it was.
or you bookmark it for later.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, it's really a very low price point as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really simple to say, okay, well, gee, I can get 1,000 leads for next to nothing. Why not?
Exactly.
It's easier than placing an easy ad.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you're at a much different level than you were 5 years ago. But if you were thinking back 5 years ago and you put yourself in somebody's shoes right now that's just starting out online, they know a bit about the internet, they know a bit about their computer,
mm-hmm.
They come online and they have realistic expectations. They don't expect to make $1 million their first year, but
mm-hmm.
they only have about $100. They want to do something. What if it was you and you were just coming online now, you have $100, what would you do?
If I only had $100, I'd probably reserve a domain name. I'd probably make a deal with someone to sell their product for 50% commission. This is assuming I have my own list, or I don't even have that.
I would say you're just brand new. You wouldn't have a list yet.
Okay. What I would do then, okay, is probably I would probably do a little research and find out how to basically. I would probably sign up for an online service like robotreply.com, because
yep.
then it's only $29.95 a month, and I'm still under 50 here.
Uh-huh.
And then I would buy maybe $10 a month hosting somewhere. It's online, believe me. You just do a search, you'll find it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of places that offer it for $10 a month and under. Then I'm at around $50 now, right?
Yep.
Okay. What I would do then is probably buy some real low-cost pay-per-click bidding. As the $50 drains, I should probably generate $300 to $400 easy. And then that $300 to $400 would be reinserted into pay-per-click bidding, because you got to do this slow if you
yeah.
don't have that much money. Then I would say that would generate about $1,200 or so, because, you know, I would write the basically ads in all the pay-per-click search engines in such a way where they won't click that link unless they're actually ready to buy, because I would put the price on the ad, so I wouldn't have a bunch of freebie seekers clicking through on the pay-per-click bids.
Okay.
Once they click that link, they're pretty much ready to buy. I would put, like, at the last sentence, Terry, I would say, you know, only, you know, $49.95 or whatever. So if I had $100, I would start with the pay-per-clicks, because they're pretty much guaranteed. They're slower traffic, but they're pretty much guaranteed, and every nickel I know I spend is going to go to something that's, you know, I know what I'm going to get out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So where do you go then? Pay-per-click search engines. Are you using the Overture and or where?
Pay-per-click
do you
search engines.
Yeah.
I would say, basically ones that use in pay-per-click search engines. I would say Overture was definitely the number one choice. FindWhat.com is a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's ePilot. Then let me see. There's at least 10 of them, and I don't have them all on the top of my head right now.
Sure, yeah.
But if you go to, like, paperclickanalyst.com,
yep.
there's, like, I think that they pretty much have all the main ones.
And then how do you decide really kind of how to write copy in that very small space that you have?
Yeah,
to write
exactly.
Copy that people, like you said, you've got to include the price so you don't get freebie seekers.
Yeah, exactly. It's called a negative qualifier. Basically,
yeah.
You want to negatively qualify. You actually want to make it hard for them to click on the link, because since you're paying per click, you know, you could do that. But you don't want to make it so hard. You got to be careful because you don't want to make it so hard that you just, you have $50 sitting in there a year from now in your account. You have like $43 sitting there a year from now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't want to make it that hard, you know?
Yeah.
But you definitely want to advertise it for being a good product, but you don't want to advertise it to where, oh, come on, it's free, and this and that when it's not free,
yeah.
Because even if the Overture editors let the bids get through, that doesn't, you're not doing justice to yourself. So I would suggest basically setting up the ad to where you're getting so many clicks, per week, and then you just monitor the clicks and find out which ones are pulling or not. When you're lower on money, you got to be a little more scientific.
Yeah.
I mean, the way we advertise a robot reply is we'll go out and collect $10,000-$15,000 of co-op money, and we'll just go out and hit every Ezon we can find, and we don't even track the clicks or anything. I mean, we generally track the clicks. We'll put a tracker on all of it. We'll see how the whole campaign does as a whole.
Yeah.
But we and that's one concept that most people don't understand. And if you have like someone with a bigger company or more well financed company listening to this, that might be the way to go because, we want the money to circulate and come in fast, and you can't always do that if you're, you know, watching every single click from every e-sign because there's so many variables involved in that anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's bad to be scientific, and in fact, I think it's necessary to be scientific, Terry, if you don't have a lot of money to start.
Yep.
But if you get to the point where you're breaking that ground and momentum and you want to keep going forward and you don't want to stop after $5,000-$10,000 a month, don't be afraid to go out and put out, some ads and just start hitting e-signs and just, if you have time to test 60 or 70 ads, great. Get yourself a notebook and write down every single e-sign and how many clicks it got and set up if trackers for every one. But, that takes hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
If not days. Seriously. I mean, that could literally be a full-time job just doing that. And
yeah.
To be honest, I don't have the time to do that with a business I run. I'm the president of Robot Reply, and I have to do website updates. I have to answer some support emails.
Yeah.
We have a support staff of three that does that also, but I also have to do some that she doesn't understand.
Right.
Even though it's a hard thing to do, tracking, I think whether you should track or not, I don't think it's a clear-cut answer. A lot of people say, oh, you got to track your ads. That's, to my opinion, I'm sorry, but that's BS. The amount you track is amount, in basic correlation to the amount of money you have to spend on advertising and the amount of time you're willing to spend tracking.
Right.
I think tracking is obviously better, but who has time to, hire someone to track their ads full time,
So, yeah, so it's really, it's basically a time-money function.
Well, exactly. And you got to remember, Terry, it's a time-money function, and there's so many other ways to make money online. There's joint ventures. There's e-sign swaps. If I'm sitting there working that, how am I going to have time to track ads?
Right.
Let's be honest. I mean, there's so many people out there in Robot Reply that I have to go to as part of my job to see if I can maybe do an e-sign swap so they can hit A-plus with their ad so I can basically hit their database with my ad.
Yep.
There's so many other things to do, and luckily enough, I'm able to trade ads with a lot of the big boys as long as I can hit A-plus with mine.
Exactly.
So that kind of helps me get a wider number of eyeballs on my product.
Absolutely.
But that's pretty much where it's at. I mean, there's other ways to market, and what I like to do is never commit myself to anything because I have to keep kind of, I guess you could say, loose fingers, so I can keep my creativity up and whatever to market properly.
Yep.
Because if I start buckling down and doing too much tracking, this and that, it's kind of like that, it's kind of like a myopic view where you're looking one way, but you don't see what's on the right or left of you if you just start doing something like that. See, I have to keep my eyes looking at the big picture the whole time, so I can't just focus on one thing like that.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying that tracking's bad, but I'm just saying that, I can't put too much time into it.
You have a lot of hats, a lot of different hats you have to wear. You have to kind of
exactly, and that doesn't count the joint venture deals I'm brokering, where I have to get on the phone, with people, because we do have a couple co-brands set up also in Robot Reply. If we total everything we're making every month, it's about $60,000 to $70,000 right now.
Wow.
And that's in gross income, of course.
Yeah.
But it's still pretty good.
So to bring just. What I really like is really the behind the scenes kind of information. Now, when you say you're making $60,000 a month, what
mm-hmm.
kind of expenses? Because I think this is really important for people to understand. You're making $60,000 a month, but what kind of expenses do you incur to actually bring in that amount of money?
What kind of expenses that they incur to bring that kind of money?
Yeah, like you've got a staff. You have, like you said, you blast out, you know, really go out to e-zines and spend $15,000 in e-zines.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the average expenses that you would incur in a month to bring in $60,000?
I would say, okay, we've got our server costs, and we've got 4 employees. Each employee, two of our support employees only get about $1,000 a month apiece, okay? One of our support employees, or the head of support, gets $3,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Our programmer is a partner, an equal partner, because he's rated it. He's not cocky. He does a good job. He works full time. He's never, you know what I mean? He's always working and doing a good job. And me and Bob are full partners as well. And basically, he's brilliant, by the way. I mean, he's been able to do some unbelievable stuff with Robot Reply. And he's also starting to do it with First Alert Leads.
That's the kind of person you want to hold on to.
Exactly. And I figure with lead costs, maybe $7,000 to $10,000 a month. I'm not really sure exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Bob actually buys the leads, but they're not. You know, we have a good markup on them. And because what we're selling is responder service, lead is the bonus.
Right.
I mean, you know, so you know the leads are a smaller cost, but I think the servers are more of a cost. I think we probably spend about $4,000 or $5,000 a month on servers too. So we probably spend. I would say our overhead is $10,000 to $12,000 a month, possibly. So the rest is pretty much net.